Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. It might as well be Run It Back Live.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to work with you, Will.
Yeah.
I was the sixth backup option, but got the call-up.
Yeah, you were basically O'Shea Brissett.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we had to reach deep for this one.
Teller Ennis not available today? Or?
No, he's balling out with the 905.
Yeah.
And instead of in the studio.
Yeah, I'm really nervous. This is like a Stanley Johnson, Nick Nurse situation right now.
Yeah, if you screw up one call, it's over.
For no, like I have to perform it in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. Oh, yeah. A wide open corner three, you better hit that.
Yeah, I'm about to twerk.
Okay, all right. We can save that for maybe later in the pod. But yeah, so Josh, our regular co-host, is finally flying back from vacation. He's in air right now. Safe travels, Josh. He'll be back for next week's show. But in the meantime, this is Alex Wong, Stephen LeBron on...
Hi, Mom.
Twitter and YouTube. Yeah. And
yeah,
Instagram.
It.
Yeah.
That's it.
So we're going to take your calls about the Toronto Raptors. You can call us, as always, at the two lines listed below, 416-263-8297 and 416-263-8298. Before we get to our first call... And you can also leave, by the way, you can also ask questions in the YouTube chat. Just drop them in there and our producers will grab them. But before we get to our first call, you got a hot take. You got a real hot take.
Yeah, so, you know, some of you guys might only know me as the guy who said it was 99.8% certain that Kawhi was going to come back to Toronto during the summer. So, you know, I'm back with another guarantee. You know, I studied the Raptors' schedule very thoroughly. Leading up to the All-Star break.
Okay, Josh Lundberg.
And you were at practice today, and it's been confirmed that Norm is coming back on Sunday.
This is confirmed. Nick Nurse has said that Norman Powell will play Sunday against the San Antonio Spurs.
And Pascal and Mark are close.
Pascal also came to speak to the media, which is great. And Pascal said that maybe Sunday is ambitious, but...
So it sounds like maybe in the next week.
Yeah, next week. I'm thinking so the Raptors play Sunday against the Spurs, and then they got two more days off, and then Wednesday against OKC. That's on the road. Probably that one.
Yeah, so the guys are coming back. It's unfortunate that Fred is, I guess, on this indefinite timeline now.
Right? It's indefinite, but it's not that serious.
Yeah, man. It can't be that serious. So the guys are coming back. The Raptors have hung in there, you know, through all the injuries. And if you look at the schedule leading up to the All-Star break, I think they play four games against winning teams. It's at OKC. They've got to play Philly at home without Joel Embiid probably. Mm. And home and home against the Indiana Pacers. Those are the only games that I think they're playing against above 500 teams. And they've gone like, what, 20-1 against teams below 500 so far this season?
Yep.
The Raptors don't lose against bad teams.
Yeah,
like
they literally don't.
So with the guys coming back, you know, I just want a personal guarantee that the Raptors are going to be the number two seed by the All-Star break, and they'll hang on to that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and just real quickly, we go through the schedule. Spurs, that's a tough game. They're under 500, but they're playing well right now.
Yeah.
But since they're at home, I would expect the Raptors to win.
And they have like 3 days off.
Yeah.
The days off matter to this team right now because they have like seven guys.
And the Spurs on a long road trip.
Yeah.
Wednesday against OKC.
That's a tough one.
They should win that
game,
though.
But they should win.
Washington on Friday at home in Toronto.
Yeah,
that's a win.
It'll be up 30 at halftime.
Minnesota on Saturday. It's a back-to-back, but still, it's a win.
It's a Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, you probably expect a Pascal back for that.
Yeah.
Atlanta, that's a win.
Yeah, up 40 after one quarter.
Doesn't
even
matter.
Yeah, it's a win.
Philly, it's a little tough right now because we don't. There's no Embiid, but I mean,
I don't know. The Raptors are Philly's kryptonite, man. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. And yeah. Pascal with no Embiid blocking out the rim. I mean, that's probably like a 35-point game right there.
Yeah.
Going against Tobias Harris and Al Horford.
Yep.
Probably,
the Knicks.
Probably tore his pec.
At the Knicks, going to be a lot of Maasai propaganda happening,
oh, yeah,
I believe.
That's right, yeah.
But, you know, in the midst of a 40-point win for the Raps.
On the road in San Antonio, Sunday. I mean...
If they're full strength.
Yeah.
If the Raptors are full strength.
They'll probably win that, too. Atlanta at home, that's a guaranteed win. Cleveland, guaranteed win. Detroit, guaranteed win. Chicago, guaranteed.
I would not be surprised if the Raptors rip off, honestly, like a 9-10 game win streak at some point. If they can, if the guys really do come back healthy and they have a full lineup.
Yeah. So
that's my guarantee.
Second in the East. That'd be great. Second seed is going to be very important. You don't want to be playing, I don't know, Philly in the first round.
No.
Or like
even Indiana. Do you want Indiana in the first round?
No, I'd much rather play like Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I think a number two seed, you get home court for the first two rounds, obviously. Yep. Yep. And that's a clear path. That's a pretty good path to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think it's going to be similar to last year, one versus two.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee has home court over Toronto, and Milwaukee wins the first three this time.
Oh, okay.
And then the Raptors sweep them again.
So you're going to call it a sweep again?
Oh, it's still a sweep, baby. You win four in a row, that's a sweep. Anyway, we get to our first caller, line one, Sanir. You want to talk about buyers or sellers at trade deadline?
Yeah, actually, before I ask that question, it's confirmed that Siakam's going to play next week. He's going to practice today. Oh, that's what Woj just tweeted.
Yeah, I was just at practice. Yeah, Pascal was there. He spoke everything. He practiced. Yeah, yeah, it's all good.
Okay. Oh, well. Yeah, so...
Asian Woj.
Yo, you need Woj, Asian. Man. I was physically there, all right?
Yeah, so do you think the Raptors are going to buy or sell? Because did you guys hear about Danilo Gallinari? The Raptors apparently have interest in him, which I think is a nice pickup, but with his contract, they're probably going to have to give up like a surge and, I don't know, maybe like a pick or something. So what do you guys think about that?
I mean, I don't hate it. I think if they were to make an addition, they should try to address the offense more than the defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
A guy who can create a little bit in that forward spot. But, I mean...
What are you giving up, though, you know? Do you want to give up Serge? Do you want to give up Serge at this point?
That's the thing. I trust Serge a lot, man. I mean, you look at Serge the last eight games, all right? Serge is not perfect. He makes mistakes, but, man, it's averaging like 18 points and 11 rebounds.
Basically a 20-10 as a starting center.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, Serge, you know, he has brick hands. We all know that. But he's been averaging like almost 20 points. Like, is that worth giving up to get a Danilo? I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, who was it? Like, I think Andre Drummond, the Raptors, were mentioned in those early rumors,
I don't believe that one.
Yeah, who leaked that? Dwayne Casey? but I just think there's not a guy, even if you talk about Gallinari, he's a great offensive player. Like, you know, number one, like we said, is not worth giving up any of these core guys for. And I'm not sure how many of these guys really lift the Raptors' ceiling.
Yeah.
If you're talking about just for this season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That was just to make a balance. Because I do think Gallo is a better offensive player than Serge. But, I mean, Serge, like, first up, he's already, like, everyone in the locker room likes him. Good dude. Apparently he's teaching Terrence Davis how to eat.
So he's telling Terrence to stay away from junk food, right?
Yeah, telling him to lift weights after practice, stuff like that. It's great. Yeah. And also he's cool with coming off the bench.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Completely cool, right? Yeah. So the fit factor has to be there. The difficult thing, I think, is I predicted before the season they're not going to make a major trade in season. They'll add something, but it'll be a minor piece. Like, they'll add, like, a Pat McCaw during the year or something.
Wow, another Pat McCaw?
Yeah. Nick Nurse's dream right there, baby.
Yeah.
Or how about Iguodala? I mean, what's his name? Masai Ujiri has a connection with him in Denver.
Yeah.
It feels like Iguodala's just going to come down to the Lakers and Clippers.
Iguodala's been living in Oakland this whole time, man.
Yeah. No, I would love if they added Iguodala.
Yeah, for sure. But
No, I think Raptors might have to just, like you said, Will, like a buyout candidate type guy. Like nothing like via trade. And, you know, the other thing about bringing guys in, like a Gallinari or a Drummond or whoever you want to throw in, like, Nick has pretty low patience for guys getting used to the system, right?
And if you don't play defense?
Yeah, if you throw in a Gallinari, say, in March or something, like with 15 games left to the postseason, like, I'm not sure if that's enough time for Nick to even work up trust to have that guy out there for more than, like, 10 minutes a game.
Fair enough. I don't mind Gallo, though, because I do think he's really talented offensively. And he can do a lot of things.
I think it'd be great. I'm just not – I wouldn't want to give up anything for him, like anything tangible.
Fair enough.
Also, one last thing before I leave. What do you guys think about the Kendrick Perkins KD beef? That was freaking hilarious. Like,
the NBA is just unnecessarily messy. On one day you have I meant to say slugs – which I think is one of the best NBA stories ever.
Well, my theory on that is, you know, Matthew Dellavedova is a slug. So that's how all that stuff started. But, yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, it's entertaining, I guess. I mean, I've always thought that KD should just, like, not be online. Because you're Kevin Durant. But he's also out for the whole season with nothing to do. Like, what would you do if you were out for the whole season?
I mean, people talk shit about me too, but
I think it's hilarious that he said, "Perk, you averaged two points and three rebounds."
That's crazy. You think he had the basketball reference page up? He's like, "I know, I'm gonna research this."
But I think KD was going through it too because Westbrook got a really great welcome back last night OKC. And, you know, KD, like, you know, he obviously hasn't gotten a good welcome back in OKC. I don't know. What kind of welcome you think he'll get in Golden State when he goes back? Like, he doesn't really have, like, a home, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
If only he came to Toronto in 2016, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, man. His best friend, Gravis Vasquez, is right there.
He was wearing a David Price jersey at OVO Fest. Don't forget that.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Kawhi was wearing some Blue Jays gear, so.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Yeah, let's go to the next one. Isaiah, Montreal. Who should we get at the deadline? Isaiah, who do you want to get at the deadline?
I mean, I heard you guys. Hey, guys, first of all, big fan of you guys.
Oh, thank you. And, thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Are you guys talking about getting Gallinari?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that being a good trade, but, like, who do you think will be giving up, you know, to get, like, a Gallinari?
Probably be, like, Serge and a pick. It's not great, man.
You know? Think they'll take that?
I think it might be a three-way deal. I don't know if OKC needs Serge back. You know what I mean?
You think Norm gets? You think Norm does Norm work?
I was thinking about that too. Maybe Norm a pick, and I don't know.
Norm's like a decent contract for what he's been contributing before his injury.
Man, I feel bad if Norm was this year's JV. Like, gets hurt, comes back, immediately gets traded.
I just feel hard. I'm so attached to this team now, and like. It's like, I don't know who to give up.
No. Yeah, giving up Serge, you would be taking a part of the championship core away, you know?
Yeah.
That's Serge.
That's what I'm saying. You don't necessarily need to make a move, though. That's the thing. First off, you don't even have enough time to evaluate how good is this team really. Like, someone asked Nick Nurse about that at practice just now, and Nick is like, honestly, man, well, we just need to get healthy and stay healthy because we can compete with anybody.
And it's true.
He's a coach. He's going to say that nice thing about his team. But also, I kind of believe him.
They beat the Lakers. They competed with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, the performance against the Bucks wasn't that good.
Yo, bro, Pat McCall almost put a triple-double on the Celtics.
Yeah, because he plays 42 minutes a game for, you know, reasons unknown.
I don't know why, though. He has some info on Nick Nurse, right? No.
Yeah, he's got the stash of the NN hats. Yeah, he's got the unreleased NN hats. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a tie-dye colorway.
Yo, actually, Nick was... Someone asked him about, like, you know, how's the rotation going to change when guys come back? And he's like, well, you know how I feel about Pat McCaw. And I thought for a second he's going to be like, oh, he's still going to start? But then he's like, no. He's a specialist. So I think Nick knows.
Yeah.
They're shorthanded, man. What do you want him to do? No backup point guard, basically. Terrence is more of a two. You need somebody to do something. I mean, McCaw's just been up and down. But the upside has actually pretty been nice, though. Like, did you think McCaw can give you 11 assists?
No, honestly, I don't even remember what life was like before Pat McCaw was in the starting lineup. It just seems like such a staple of Raptors basketball now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had some, you know, he's kind of a give-and-take player, kind of like Norm.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Give-and-take.
I prefer Norm, but, you know.
Yeah, but anyways, trade targets, I don't know. Do you have anyone in mind? That, you know, you think would be nice?
I like Gallinari. I mean, Drummond, like, I don't see it working, but I can't see it working. But, like, nah, we don't need those problems right now.
I'm good.
We're good.
If the Raptors
I don't really know, to be honest.
Well, the Raptors are going to win on their defense, so I don't want to trade our center, which is the most important piece of the defense, for Drummond, who's not a good defender. And I'm sure the Raptors can get Drummond in, develop him, make him a better defender. I'm no doubt about that. But immediately this year? I don't think so.
No.
And I think you're right. That is going to be the Raptors' like identity going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is the defense.
Exactly.
The defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's a tough year for the Raptors to be like making trades and stuff.
What are expectations though for like this year? Like, I don't see us repeating, but like how, like, you think a first round exit would be like a disappointment or?
I think so.
It depends on who they lose to in the first round though.
Like if they play the Sixers,
if they lost in 7 to the Sixers in the first round, you're like, that's understandable. It's a bad matchup. Like, it's unlucky to meet a team like the Sixers first round.
They're huge.
Who would you pick right now, though, if it was Sixers-Raptors in the first round? Both teams are healthy.
Is Embiid back?
Yeah, both teams are full strength.
I think this sounds good. I think I'll go with the Raptors, to be honest.
If the Raptors had home court, I would take them in 7.
Home court, yeah, exactly.
I would take them in 7. Matt Thomas, 4-bounce shot in Game 7 to win it. Yeah.
Yo, come on, man. Matt Thomas not hitting no rim. Matt Thomas all
game
net.
Series. Matt Thomas.
I see you've carried this out in your mind before.
Oh, yeah, many times. But, yeah, I think their ceiling, I don't know if you agree, Will, is to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, that would be nice.
But honestly, it depends on matchups. I think the East playoffs is going to be very matchup heavy.
Every team is flawed in some small way, you know? So
mean, you might have a path where you need to beat, like, say, Indiana and Boston
yeah.
to get to the Eastern yeah. Conference Finals, which sounds pretty doable.
Yeah, 100%. So I would love to beat the Celtics. But I would love to
just
beat
end
the
all that Bob Cousy talk.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
No more Bob Cousy. Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Isaiah.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, next caller. We got Andrew in Guelph. More trade scenarios. Andrew.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
I love what you guys do. You guys are, I like to say, 99.8 percentile of Raptors coverage. So just doing what you guys do.
Yes, just blink ahead of us.
I really appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
So the first thing I actually wanted to talk about was Kyle Lowry's, like you guys brought up on Run It Back, you know, talking about Kyle Lowry's Hall of Fame case. And I got to say, when he gets his second chip this year, I really think it's going to be a slam dunk. I mean,
If he gets another chip this year, guarantee you first ballot Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Because I've been saying this all year, and no one wants to hear it.
Yeah.
The season's ending one of two ways.
Okay,
we're either going to lose it. We're going to lose in the finals in six, no matter what. And it's either we're going to lose to LeBronto in Toronto, which is going to suck. But I mean, that keeps on that narrative, right?
Sure.
Or game six. Here, we're going to host the Clippers, and we're going to beat them.
Ooh.
And Kawhi's going to have to leave the court and realize
God. they're going to dim the lights and retrace the steps of him walking off the court as the Raptors celebrate.
Get that ready,
MLSC. Yeah.
It's going to be Toronto, LA. I just don't know which LA at this point because that Western Conference Final is going to be nuts.
Yeah, I love this confidence. I love this confidence, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, but realistically, like, is there a single? You guys were just talking about this. There's not a single Eastern Conference team. Outside of maybe Milwaukee, where if the Raptors have home court, are you picking, like, there's no one else who's a clear cut, like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to beat the Raptors,
yeah.
right? Like, it's
there's
all matchup
based. No head and shoulders better than the Raptors team. Milwaukee, maybe, but we all know with Milwaukee, if you can figure out a way to slow down Giannis, which the Raptors literally did that last year. Obviously, they had Kawhi. That helped a lot. But
we didn't have OG.
If OG's allowed to play defense, here's the thing. Well, I mean, it's different. You're not referees in the NBA are never going to give Kawhi Leonard six fouls.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. That's
ever.
Yeah.
Right. But with a guy like OG, I could see OG getting six fouls playing the exact same defense against Giannis. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, Giannis.
But then we can throw Pascal at him, right? Like, we got wings to throw.
Yeah, we do.
Well, here's the thing when they play Milwaukee.
We got Stanley Johnson. No, no.
Yo, come on. That's one propaganda too much.
Oh, shit.
Giannis obviously the best player in that series, but like, who's the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best player in that series? I think it's like the whole Raptors roster.
Well, if
depending on
the
how you think about
online,
it.
Online, I mean, Middleton's better than DeRozan, so
yeah, don't get Will started on that. Yeah.
Chris Middleton's a premium Norman Powell.
Listen, I'm just saying there's a non-zero chance the Raptors make the finals, you know?
Yeah.
And
no, I'm just kidding about Middleton, but honestly, I'm just so tired of Middleton propaganda, man.
Yeah. There's
when Middleton. Did we all agree Middleton was this, like, superstar player? I have never seen Middleton do anything
when they
superstar.
Opened up Deer Pond in Milwaukee.
Bro, I'm gonna pull up Middleton's exact numbers in last year's playoffs.
Wow, it's actually his homepage.
So just stay on the line, man. Just make sure we have this exact.
By the way, Chris Middleton's nickname on Basketball Reference is Baby Joe Johnson.
Baby
I just saw
Joe
this.
Johnson. Yeah. Wow. All right, so keep in mind, Chris Middleton was not getting guarded by the best defender.
Yes.
Right? Kawhi was on Giannis.
Yeah, who was guarding Middleton?
Not a lot of people were guarding Middleton, to be honest. They're helping off with this guy. Averaging 13.7 points, 41% from the field, 4.2 assists, 1.8 turnovers, 4 fouls a game.
So he's Norman Super Powell on a bad day against Milwaukee.
I'm just going to look up Norman Powell's numbers. Anyway, so
yeah,
thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, Raptors. I mean, honestly, like, if they stay healthy, they can compete with anybody. I actually do agree with that.
I'm feeling real good with the guys coming back. That's all
everyone's optimistic, and it's Friday, man.
So. Yeah, I guess every day is Friday.
Okay, all right. When you're a freelancer, that's what happens. Next caller, we have J.R. Tolkien from Austin, Texas. Somehow, what are you doing in Austin, Texas?
Hello, am I on?
Yes.
Hello, my name's Token. I'm just in Austin, Texas. Big fan of the show. Thought I'd call in and say hello to Will and Alex. I just had a question regarding playoff matchups. Who would be your ideal first-round matchup, your second round, and then obviously the Bucks in the third round? I personally look at it with Indiana getting Victor Oladipo back. That's
a very
that's
convincing
a
accent,
look.
Man.
That is a tough look.
Who is it?
Well, I've been here 3 days, so I picked up a few things.
You sound like Tim McMahon.
Yeah, don't you have to go do the PP&E section, bro?
Yo, go home. Do some accounting already, man.
Yeah.
This conference was on business development. Please put some respect on me. I've moved on past PP&E.
This guy has an ICAO tattoo on his. He has an ICAO tattoo on his belly. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. That's an inside accountant joke, I guess.
Yeah, made him laugh, so it was real.
Okay. First off, right now, the potential first round matchup, we're number two seed right now, is Orlando.
Yeah, that's
that'd
nice.
Be hilarious.
Jonathan Isaac's out for the season too, right?
Yeah. So
Markelle Fultz will win game one against the Raptors.
Oh, they still got DJ Augustine, so
yeah.
But yeah, we could sweep that, no problem.
No, the number two seed is so important. I don't think
yeah.
people realize this. I mean, people do, but
Brooklyn might be a little bit of trouble just because playoff Kyrie is pretty nice.
But they're not going to win four games against the Raptors.
They're not. And then Charlotte's not going to do it. And then Detroit, Chicago, Washington, like, bro. Yeah, I don't know, man. First round opponent, anybody, to be honest. I'm more worried about the second round opponent. And in that sense, I honestly, you just got to think about which teams the Raptors match up best against. I'll just say this. Like, Miami's really tough in a weird way. I don't want to play them. They're really, like, deep and, like, team-oriented, and it feels very similar to the Raptors.
But you don't think they're, like, real?
Well, A, they're 6-0 in overtime games. That's a little fluky.
You can't hang on to record. That, though.
And then B, they're getting, like, 55 points per game from rookies.
No, that's fair.
I mean, I'm just saying, are those rookies going to give you 55 playoff points?
You have to remember, Jimmy Butler is a good Texas boy. So you got to give him credit.
This guy's calling from South by Southwest right now? Jeez. What's going on, man?
Yeah. That's in 3 months. My Uber driver told me that on the way in.
Jeez.
Your tour days, mate.
Anyways, if the Raptors are the two seed, Orlando and then like Boston is a pretty good path.
Boston would actually.
Just so you can remind everyone that since the Raptors became an NBA franchise in what, 95, they have won the same number of titles as the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I don't want to hear from Bob Cousy on Twitter anymore.
Right? Bob Cousy's not on Twitter.
Bob Cousy beat Ernst & Young in 1965.
Bob Cousy is posting Republican memes on Facebook. You know that, right? This guy's sharing info.
I'll be honest, guys. I don't want to get too big for my bridges or fill up too up into my boots. But I got to say, looking at the teams in the East outside of the Bucks, I don't see the Raptors losing any of those series in six games or even seven, especially if they have home court.
Okay.
Why is Philadelphia expected to be a difficult matchup? I just want to know.
Philadelphia is
where are they expected Embiid's, to score points against us? I would just really love to know.
This guy watched five seasons of Justified before.
Embiid's defense. That's all I'm worried about, to be honest. Embiid's defense.
The Sixers are a media-driven contender, man.
Yeah. Wow.
You know?
They're last year Celtics.
You really think Sixers are going to win three rounds to get to the finals?
No.
Al Horford might retire in 2 weeks.
He's been
sending out retirement signals. Seems very unhappy.
Wow.
Yeah. You trust Brett Brown to win three playoff series?
Hell no.
Maybe two?
No.
One?
They gotta fire him midway through the series.
Yeah,
and have Rich Paul coach the team.
Wow!
If he says one more thing about Ben Simmons shooting threes,
wow!
Ben Simmons can't even shoot ones, man.
You not being able to shoot ones is crazy.
I'm just saying, man, he shoots like 55% on free throws. Start there. Start with one.
You know that? What's that meme of pick up 25 cards? Pick up 25 cards or shoot a three.
Yo, Ben Simmons. Yeah, Ben Simmons losing Uno, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this man shooting.
In a series, who would hit more threes, Rondé or Ben Simmons?
Be 1-1.
Rondé could kick a ball.
But Rondé would get benched five games after shooting his first three.
Yeah.
Nick's like, we can't have this. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking my call.
Yeah,
big fan,
you're
as
welcome,
always. Big shout out to your other show, Run It Back. I really do tell people should watch that show. I'm a big fan. I enjoy your chemistry.
All right.
And you guys should keep that going. Honestly, I need more of that. You can't take so many breaks.
I look forward to seeing your pickup ball stats on Twitter.
Yeah, January 19th.
Of course. If you show up on the 19th, I'll give you a personal look, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right.
All right, then. Take care, bud.
All right. Big thanks to Paulo Abdul for calling. All right. Next caller.
You sounded like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or something.
I can't believe he did the accent the whole thing. That was like a Kyle Lowry interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Kyle doing?
Nobody knows.
Someone said Tiger Woods.
That is very strange.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a big golf guy, though.
Yeah. Kyle's a funny guy. You think Kyle's funny?
Yeah, he's funny.
All right. Just checking.
He's funny. He's funny like he'll give you a wet willy and laugh at you. Yeah. He's that kind of funny. All right.
Okay.
Line one, Mason, North Bay. O'Shea and Terrence Davis's contracts. What do you want to know about their contracts?
Yeah, hey, guys. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
First of all. So my question is, in the last five or six games, O'Shea's played about 10 or plus minutes every game. And since he's on a two-way contract, do you see them converting his contract to an NBA contract in the next, before the end of the season? And if so, who do you think they'd cut?
I could see it. And it'll probably be Malcolm Miller.
Yeah, Malcolm's fallen out of favor recently.
I'm just saying, if the two-way guy's playing more than you, then it's unfortunate, you know? And it's, like, cheaper to cut Malcolm than Stanley, for example, who has, like, another year on his deal that's guaranteed. So
Stanley, maybe, though.
Nah, man.
You don't think so?
And even just having that contract on the books to be a tradable piece to match salaries, it's a little bit more useful, yeah.
I have been really impressed by O'Shea, though.
I have too. Honest. And also, Malcolm Miller could be on an NBA roster. It's just Raptors are mad deep. And if he gets crunched, then it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Terrence? You wanted to ask about Terrence?
Yeah. So, I mean, so when everyone comes back in a few weeks, hopefully, because...
Not in a few weeks, man. Next week.
Yeah.
Next week.
Do you see him? Because I know at the plan at the start of the year was to get him sometime down with the 905. Do you see that happening at any point? Just to maybe get him some more reps if a lot of people are back and his minutes are going to drop?
I almost think he's too good for that now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I thought at the start of the year he'd start at least a part of the season in the 905. It just felt very natural. And the Raptors do that a lot with the rookies. But, like, as Nick Nurse talked about, he's played him from the first game. Like, that first game against the Pelicans, Terrence Davis was in there getting a putback.
Yep.
You know, he was in that game. And he's consistently featured throughout. He's actually been one of the Raptors' healthiest players all year, which is rare for a rookie. Because you got to consider, like, the workload of, like, an NCAA player is you play, like, 4 months at most, and you're playing, like, 40 games.
Oh, wow.
And he's already at 38.
NCAA comps over here.
Wow. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's honestly one of those things is you just talk to him like, hey, do you feel like you're in a rhythm? Because for a while, the Raptors might be in a place where they might not have more than 5 to 10 minutes available for Terrence.
Yeah,
and if that's the case, maybe get him a couple of games. But I also do think that, like, honestly, he's playing well enough that he should be in consideration for that 8th and 9th spot. If he falls beyond 9th in the rotation, then maybe. But
I think we're gonna get a lot of Pat McCaw playing. Why is Pat McCaw playing ahead of Terrence Davis when everyone comes back? And, you know, I think to the point of what Nick said about, you know, having played him since the first game, I think if Nick views him as someone who can contribute in the playoffs, then he should have him in the rotation right now.
That makes sense.
And to get these reps. I mean, even the reps against, like, say, like against Charlotte this week, when he was able to bounce back and have that huge game. I mean, it earns trust with the coach too, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know that the rotation is going to shorten in the playoffs. So, you know, if Nick sees Terrence as one of the top 8 or top 9 guys, then, you know, I feel like he shouldn't go to the 905, and they should make a concerted effort to have him in there, whether it's 15, 20 minutes a game, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's just with Terrence, if he wants to get more time, you got to limit the turnovers a little bit more and then limit the fouls. If he can do those things, because he's already doing a lot of positive things on the floor. Like, he's shooting 47% from the field, 40% from three, and 94% from the free throw line. For a rookie, that's amazing.
And a lot of times when the offense bogs down with, like, the second unit and all that stuff, like, he's the one that has really stepped up, and he's not afraid to take the shots. And he doesn't take bad shots.
No, he really doesn't.
He takes what's given to him.
And he's aggressive with his shot, which is rare, because, like, the rest of the team almost feels, like, a little bit too tentative with their shot.
Yeah, it's him and Chris Boucher, man.
Okay, Boucher's too aggressive with the shot. Chris Boucher trying to make Instagram highlights, though, you know?
Wow.
All right, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, man.
Right, no problem. Have a nice day, guys.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your weekend. Zach in Toronto. This is just nonstop when you do the call-in show, man. It's just nonstop.
Yeah, I didn't know your show was this popular. I thought we'd just take 3 calls and banter.
No, Zach in Toronto. You want to talk about summer moves?
Hey, Lou. Hey, Will. First off, first-time caller. Loved it. Loved listening to you guys since the Raptors Republic post-game podcast days.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. We have a ton of roster spaces open this summer. We have a lot of people coming off the cap, Mark, Serge, a lot of money to spend. I presume we'll be targeting to retain Fred. But what would you say is an ideal summer, like in terms of retaining players who we're targeting? We obviously want to preserve cap space for 21, 22 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say my ideal summer would be you re-sign Fred to at least a three-year deal. Probably nothing too expensive, like nothing above like $22 million, and then you re-sign one of the two centers. I mean, if they both want to come back on short deals, then by all means, of course. But if it's like if they get Marcus Alf on a two-year deal, that's like 2 years, 35 or 40 even. Where mm-hmm. the second year you can still trade him when if you need that cap space to get Giannis. Yeah, like a two-year deal for one of the centers. I think I'd be pretty happy with that. And then you can just trust these guys in the front office to go out and find not only draft picks, which you know they're able to actually use their draft pick this year, provided they don't trade it this year, and also just find guys on the cheap, man. I mean, they got Rondé for like $2.5 million, like a week into free agency, and Rondé's been much more productive than a lot of players in the NBA this season. You know, like you can trust that the front office can find guys on the cheap. So, and you got they got Terrence Davis, like they signed him in summer league, man. So
yeah,
I'm not that ambitious this year. I'm definitely looking for the 2021.
What if Giannis signs his Supermax?
Well, then you might pivot courses, but yeah. I don't think he will do that.
Okay,
I don't think he will do that.
All right. So no chance of Bogdanovich at all.
He's restricted. He's restricted, right? Is he restricted?
He is. Yeah.
He is restricted.
Yeah.
We'll see where he lands in the trade deadline. I mean, I wouldn't mind if the Raptors got in and got Bogdan, to be honest, because he's really, really nice.
Bidding might get kind of high because there's not a lot of guys out there, right?
Yeah, we'll see for now. I mean, honestly, it feels like half the league is tanking, and the other half is trying to go for the playoffs, which is kind of, I guess, where you're supposed to be. But if that's the case, there's multiple sellers. Maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll see. But hey, Bogdan would be nice. I don't mind Bogdan at all, to be honest.
Yeah, but I'm with you. You know, re-sign Fred. And then it might just be a quiet summer. Might Raptors going to sign like three guys that you've never heard of?
Probably. Yeah. And they'll probably be great.
Yeah. Matt Thomas the second.
Wow, jeez.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Matt Thomas got a brother, right?
Yeah, he does.
Can he shoot?
Probably.
Yeah.
Just bring him in for a tryout.
Probably. In the meantime, we're still accepting calls, so call in with the two numbers below, 416-263-8297, 416-263-8298. In the meantime, let's clear up some of these YouTube questions.
Sounds good.
Robaz __ says, address the rumors about Van Vliet to the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons are interested.
Yeah.
The Pistons are ass, and they need players who aren't just terrible, and Van Vliet is not terrible at all.
Yeah, I could see them throwing a lot of money.
You know, Dwayne Casey is trying to sabotage the team any way he can. I'm kidding.
Do you think Dwayne's still bitter? I think that's over now.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think every time he goes on the court and he has to lie about Sekou Doumbouya, he is a little bitter.
He made an NBA comp for him yet?
Pascal Siakam. Any player. Okay. Any player on the Pistons. Luke Kennard, Pascal Siakam.
So what you're saying is the next year's Pistons starting backcourt is going to be Fred VanVleet and DeMar DeRozan?
And Pascal Siakam.
Oh, okay.
Bruce Brown. But yeah. He said Bruce Brown reminded him of Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe it, man. I really can't believe it. Yeah. But
You literally hang out with the guy who does the most propaganda in the city.
Yeah. Would you lie about that? I wouldn't lie about that. I would just pick another player. You know, be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke Kennard is...
Like, who would Dwayne Casey's comparison be for Terrence Davis, you think? If
Pascal Siakam. Everybody's... he just sees not Pascal a, not, every not single a, person.
Not Mitch Richmond. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to look up who that was. I had to research.
This guy really thought Mitch Richmond was like a nobody, man.
Bro, he didn't win, man. That's why if Mitch Richmond's in the Hall of Fame for putting up empty stats, then Kyle Lowry should be in there for putting up wins. It's about winning. The game is about winning. I sound like Masai Ujiri. The game is you win. You play to win the game.
This guy's Larry Tenenbaum.
Harris Fong asks, what do you think will be higher, Matt Thomas's true shooting percentage or Alex's confidence that Giannis will sign? Actually, I'm going to look up the true shooting percentage right now.
Yeah, look it up so we can give a correct answer.
Yeah, we are a stat-based show.
Yo, is it blasphemous if I say, you know, I wouldn't mind if Giannis stayed in Milwaukee?
Yo, get the hell out of here. What's wrong with you, man?
I was just having that thought the other night.
That's it. It's over for you, Stanley.
Because then we would be the Clippers.
No.
We would be the Clippers in this scenario.
No, we're not.
Like.
We're not.
We're going to
hire. Bro, the Clippers mock retired. Blake Griffin's jersey.
Yeah.
They photoshopped him on a shirt that everyone wore with Martin Luther King.
It was like a Black History Month thing.
Martin Luther King was on there, Nelson Mandela, a bunch of other people, and he's like, Blake, this is where your jersey's going to go. You're going to be the first one retired here. It's not just going to be Austin Rivers posters everywhere. It's going to be you. And then they traded him like 2 months later to Detroit. They left him in Detroit in the middle of January.
All right, take it back.
Yeah, we're not going to be the Clippers, man.
Giannis to Toronto.
Yeah, there you go. Matt Thomas is...
Sorry for having that thought.
Matt Thomas shooting percentage 66.3, so...
Yeah. It's way lower than I expected.
Wow.
My confidence for Giannis is... I forgot what I was at, 85 last time.
Oh, so you're higher.
Yeah, so I'm definitely higher. All
right. All right, that's enough of this. Yeah. Let's take a call. Line one, Don in Toronto.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. You guys are great, by the way. I used to listen to a lot of hot take nonsense on ESPN when I first started watching the Raptors, and, man, it was awful.
Wait, ESPN was talking about the Raptors?
Don't worry. Give us 3 years, man. Yeah. You're going to become that.
When was ESPN talking about the Raptors?
I mean, I don't know. Like 3 years ago, every like once every 6 months or something.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Anyways, I have a quick lighthearted question. Mm. I'm like a fiery, like emotional guy that gets caught up in the moment sometimes.
So like, just like this guy?
Relax. Yeah, don't
just
point
like
fingers.
This guy?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Will seems like me. Get quite upset at the losses. And Alex, you're kind of like me sometimes too. You get way too high sometimes on the wins.
Okay. I thought you were talking about something else.
No, all right. Dion Waiters.
I was like, I mean, that as well.
I don't know if you get high. Yeah. I got that kind of high too. But
wow, just lost all our sponsors. Thank you. But yeah, go on.
Yo, KFC's like half business is made on people getting high.
No comment.
We lost you there for a second, but go on.
Context for KFC is good. All right, what do you want?
So I was going to say, how do you guys keep level-headed so you don't get too high or too low? I know Will this year is saying, like, you know, the Raptors championship would mellow him out a bit. It seems like it did a little.
It didn't. I can confirm that it hasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the real podcast should be what I say on Media Row during the game. That's way harder than anything I was saying, a loaded mic.
Yeah, I mean, Will, you called PJ Tucker a Foot Locker employee this year during a game. And I think when JJ Redick got like two foul calls, you're like, yo, this white privilege is just sickening. Those are just some of the ones that I have in my notebook. But to your question, honestly, I don't know if this sounds really fake deep, but at the end of the day, it's just sports, you know? Like, we watch sports and, like, we watch these teams. Mm. Like, for me, like, I watch it mostly for, like, just entertainment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the Raptors gave us the most entertaining year that you could possibly ask for last season. And I think it's been really good to carry that energy through to this season. And that's kind of just what I remind myself. And, you know, I don't get really low because I remember that they're champions.
Yeah.
But I also get really high when they win, like, when they beat the Hornets in overtime this week. It's like, let's celebrate these wins.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'll say what I think the difference this year is when the last few years is that, like, every single year the Raptors got embarrassed and were made to be a joke. And the Raptors were never at a point where they weren't a joke. Even when they were good, they were a good team, but they were a good joke. You know what I mean? Because you knew that, like, that Cleveland situation was going to hang over them. LeBron was going to hang over them. After the title, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, man. It's okay. Like, I'm not as desperate to see the team succeed anymore. Not in the sense that, like, I don't want to see them win. I want to see them win every game. But at the same time, I'm not taking the losses as hard because I don't really feel like this team's a fraud or whatever. Because, like, once you've been there, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird to, like, losing your virginity, to be honest.
Okay. But I'm also trying my best, you know, just to, like, appreciate the whole season and appreciate this era that the Raptors are in because – you know, it's not always going to be like this. It hasn't always been like this, obviously. And, you know, sometimes I really do just remind myself that, like, yo, the Raptors are one of the best organizations right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think you would agree they have one of the best head coaches.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And, you know, the roster has been playing the way that they've been playing, no matter if it's 5 guys or 10 guys. And, you know, I just think the franchise is in a really good spot that, you know, it's not worth it to get really worked up over these kinds of, you know, wins and losses that happen over the regular season. And like Will said, all these other seasons, it was like, oh, they're so good in the regular season, but we need them to validate it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it for so many years.
I feel validated now.
And now we're validated. And also, like, man, like, no matter, you know, who they match up with in the playoffs, like we've talked about, like, you know, it's weird to feel good about a Raptors team going into the postseason.
Yeah.
And it's weird to feel good about, you know, not just the matchups, but know that you have a coach that can carry you through, like, through a 7-game series, not get out-coached and things like that. Like, there's a lot of things to be just positive about.
Yeah. That's a long
answer.
Thanks,
man. That's awesome. You guys inspired me.
Oh, good, good. I'm happy we were able to do
that. Thanks, man. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. All right, enjoy your weekend, man.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. He was directing that at me, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Before we actually get to Richard in Montreal, Kevi Schaff says, better hairline, Alex Caruso or Cody Zeller? Oh, that one's crazy,
man. Didn't you say Cody Zeller looked like a member of the royal family the other day?
He does, though. Yeah. He does. Like, he has that, like, that. He's probably, like, fourth in line for the throne.
Yeah.
Behind, what's the other Zeller? Tyler?
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about Plumlees for a second.
No, no, no. It's a different family.
Yeah, it's like apples. It's literally apples and oranges. Of
Yo,
the
remember
NBA.
When the Pacers had two Hansbrohs on the
team? Who was the second one?
Oh, man.
Remember when Ron Artest was going to fight Tyler Hansbrough and he got so scared?
Oh, man. It's great. Honestly, I kind of remember when the Raptors, remember when Dwayne Casey was like, I got a surprise starter and it was Tyler Hansbrough?
Yeah.
Imagine starting Tyler Hansbrough in a playoffs game. Ben Hansbrough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look at him.
He looks like Tyler Hansbrough. For those watching at home that can't see it, yeah. Just picture Tyler Hansbrough. That's what Ben Hansbrough looks like. Ben Solo.
Okay. All right. You watch Star Wars? What'd you think?
No, I haven't watched the new trilogy.
Okay. At all?
The fan base is very toxic.
Yeah. Where are you on Raylo? Are you a Raylo fan or no?
I don't get into that stuff.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, next one. Line two, Richard in Montreal. Richard, what's good?
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I just had a question. With the Supermax deals now being available and players in their 27, 28, 29 years old, they start getting it. Do you think executives are now shying away just from what we're seeing from certain players missing a year or longer, such as like John Wall, Blake Griffin, and even Steph Curry, but I wouldn't really count him in that? Do you think they're being more cautious?
I don't even know. I think it's almost they don't have a choice.
It's hard, right?
When the max is the max, people are getting paid the max, period. And it's just unfortunate, you know, because like some players don't deserve, not even don't deserve, like people pay the players the money. I don't care about that. But it's just like whatever the max is, people are going to, when they're in that position, they will leverage fully for that max. And so like it's just going to end up with situations where certain players are just not going to be a great return on that investment. You know what I mean? Like John Wall, for example.
Correct.
And I think the other thing people don't think about with the Supermax is like, what's your other option, right? Like when Blake Griffin or when John Wall was up for the extension, it's like either you sign that guy or do you just let him walk, right? Like the Clippers option, I guess, with Blake Griffin would have been to let him walk.
Well, they had a lot of options with Blake Griffin.
Yeah, but you know,
need to retire
but you know what? They signed him. They were able to make a trade and they were able to, within like a year and a half, 2 years, open up, you know, the cap space, rebuild the team, to be able to lure Kawhi and have the assets to trade for Paul George.
Yeah, yeah.
So oftentimes it's like, you know, you even if you don't love the decision, you do it because the alternative is kind of just letting the guy go, right?
Yeah. It is really risky, though, when you're dealing with, like for example, like Dame Lillard's contract. He looks good now, but like 2 years from now, are you going to be looking at Dame Lillard and you're paying him $46 million? They're like, wow, what am I doing?
Yeah, but then you look at Chris Paul, right? I don't think his deal was a super. Was it a supermax?
No,
it wasn't
the full supermax.
But he's getting paid like $40 million a year.
Yeah, and people are telling. I mean, even though he's good now, people are like, I can't trade for this guy because he's so expensive. Like you get stuck with a guy. It's almost like musical chairs when you have an older guy on a max contract.
If anything, I think it's signing guys that aren't really that supermax player.
Yeah.
To like a Tobias Harris comes to mind for me.
Ben Simmons, Al Horford.
No, but Tobias Harris legitimately is like an untradeable asset, I feel like.
It's hard, man.
Unless you flip him for Chris Middleton.
Oh, I love that. I love that trade.
No, but like I think it's those guys. When you commit a lot of money to those guys, a lot of Supermax guys, like you just have to sign because they're the core guy of your team.
Yeah.
I mean, John Wall, before he was injured, I mean, depending on how you feel about John Wall, I mean, he was still, it was him and Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So...
All right, man.
Cool.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Enjoy the weekend.
Take care.
Enjoy Saint Laurent.
I will.
All right. You been to Montreal?
Yeah, I have.
Great city, man. I love Montreal.
Quebec City as well with you during training camp.
All right. Yeah. Remember when we went to the Ursulines Museum?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. You and I were really Asian tourists. We just didn't have like the little caps on, and we weren't riding a what was it? What's that tour?
Safeway?
Not even Safeway. The other one.
Yeah.
The one that all the Chinese tourists.
I don't know. Someone in the YouTube comments can maybe help you out.
I feel like a fraud. I don't know about this.
Yeah, you've been a fraud.
Wow. Okay. All right. Line one. Aiden wants to talk about Stanley's minutes. Oh God. All right.
We're doing suggestions.
Yeah, we can do Sorry, suggestions guys. After this. No, it's okay, man. Talk about Stanley's minutes.
Well, that was kind of my question. So, you know, last week you guys do Stanley's suggestions, unknowing, like, you don't have an idea of the Fred injury, and Stanley ends up getting a lot more minutes than we think. So he probably didn't get to any of your suggestions. Will you be doing Stanley's suggestions today, knowing that Norm is coming back on Sunday?
Oh, 100%. We definitely have some. We have Stanley. You know what? Let's do Stanley's suggestions right now. By the way, I just pulled up Stanley's page. I haven't pulled it up all season because I never had a good reason to. I didn't realize he was averaging 1.6 points on 28% shooting.
We are rebranding Stanley Johnson as a 23-year-old prospect who has just been lost in the weeds.
I thought he was playing better than this.
In Detroit and New Orleans, and now the Raptors development team has rescued him. It'll take him a little bit to work out the bad habits, and we look forward to Stanley being a positive contributor to the franchise. That was a prepared statement.
This is what KD was talking about with Kendrick Perkins. Right?
It's like you were averaging 1.8 and 2.3.
Yo, 1.6 on 28%. Anyway, we are still doing Stanley suggestions. In fact, we will get to them right now. You can stay on the line if you have a Stanley suggestion. By all means, go for it.
I actually don't, because I'm a server, so I don't have a lot of weekend plans.
Okay.
Usually,
fair enough.
But I do have just two really quick, kind of silly questions that I wanted to throw at you guys. Could I throw that before the suggestions?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
First of all, I don't know if I can't find anything about this on Twitter, but have you guys noticed that OG isn't wearing short shorts anymore?
Oh, I haven't noticed.
I have not noticed. I'll bring my tape measure to the next game.
I just wanted to put that in your guys', guys' mind.
No, we're going to look for that, yeah.
What's going on,
that's
OG?
That's a good tip.
Wow.
Oh, shoot. I forgot my second question, so all right. Yeah, we can. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I have no suggestions, so I'm looking forward to them, and shout out to Pound the Rock. Thank you guys for being
here. Oh, shout out Pound the Rock.
Wow. Shout out Joseph Cacharo.
Yeah, and Joe Wolfon. Great podcast on the NBA. You should listen to it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Stanley suggestions. This is a good time to get to it.
I was going
to
suggest Paramount Fine Food Center, but he found his way there already last week.
Oh, God.
So that's off the board. You know, I would suggest him go to a Koreatown for some karaoke at Echo.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Private karaoke.
Yeah.
Book a room ahead of time.
Yeah. Sing some Blink 182.
Yeah.
Michelle Branch.
Let's say you have five Raptors. The starting five of Raptors karaoke.
Yeah. Matt Thomas. Yeah.
Okay.
Matt Thomas seems like he would know most of the songs in there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
All the...
He's been overseas, too. Things. He might even know the Korean songs, man. K-pop? You think Matt Thomas knows K-pop?
Apparently he speaks a little Spanish. Maybe he can sing, I don't know.
Yeah. I think Marc Gasol would be pretty fun.
Okay.
Because he would drink soju like it's a Heineken.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, yeah. So he's at center. Matt Thomas at two.
Surge?
Surge. Yeah.
You have to get Surge in there.
Yeah, yeah. He's singing like Yvonne Chaka Chaka. Like, it's like absurd. Yeah. Like, he's singing just like he's freestyling like Fela Kuti.
He's not on the Raptors, but let's get Arun in there.
All right. Shout out Arun.
Yeah. Shout out Arun.
Yeah, happy birthday, bro.
Oh, shoot. Is he upstairs? Who else? I don't know. I don't want OG there. I think OG would just sit there.
OG be great, man.
I think he would just sit there.
What, you don't think OG will sing?
Pat McCall will be there just to like play 42 minutes.
He has to, yeah. He's just there to sing Bohemian Rhapsody three times.
I think Terrence Davis would be fun, you know?
Okay.
And that's it, yeah.
There we go.
Took that too seriously.
So that's your Stanley suggestion. My Stanley suggestion for this week, since he's been spending some time in Mississauga, a lot of great spots in Mississauga. But I suggest Lena's Mississauga. Roti. Oh, yeah. Actually, he's been spending a lot of time in...
Mississauga.
And so, so in when you are in...
Mississauga.
You should go to Lena's Roti. Yeah. Okay. It's really good, man. It's really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Lena's Roti and Doubles. It's... wow. I mean, I'm getting a real, real plug here.
Yeah. But it's a sponsorship?
The Meadowvale North Shopping Center. I didn't know as that, to be honest. But it's on Financial Drive. But yeah, it's great. And then go to Leela's afterwards. We're still going to take a few more calls. We have, Archie in Toronto? Archie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, man? Thanks for waiting.
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say, by the way, that
I've been listening for a while, but I usually listen to podcasts, and I don't get why Will gets so much slander on his outfit. I think the Zara men work well on him.
Wow. How much did you pay for this phone call?
Don't worry. Yeah. Your Venmo.
We have Archie from Zara Men's here. Yeah, Zara Men's corporate office.
Wow.
Cute.
I love it, yeah. What's up, Archie?
So I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys think about the All-Star voting returns. Personally, my favorite is that Taco Fall is still above Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Oh man, listen, the Celtics fan base. They're telling you who they like the most, the guy who doesn't even play.
Yeah. I think it's funny when these guys get voted. I wish it was still a thing where, like, if the fan voted them in, like, they're in. Because right now, the fan voting only counts for, like, what, 25% or like 50% or something like that? Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, I don't mind it. I mean, like, this year, it's not on Twitter as much.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, all done through Google, right? So, like...
I mean, Alex Caruso is sixth amongst guards in the West.
There's always a couple of troll votes. But it's like when... Remember when D's Nuts almost won, like, a... Like, as an independent, like, I'm serious. This is a real thing. Like, go look it up. One of the states, they were having, like, a primary or whatever, and, like, literally, D's Nuts had, like, 8% of the vote.
That's crazy.
This is, like, Alex Caruso is, like, D's Nuts, essentially.
Alex Caruso is, like, if Matt Thomas was a Laker, he would be Alex Caruso. Because the Lakers and the Celtics fan base are pretty strong in that way, right?
Yeah.
That they'll push these guys, like, you know, Kyle Kuzma is apparently a star.
Yeah.
But
also, bro, where are you right now, man?
Are you
going through a car wash?
He's in Zara.
No, I'm on my way to work.
Oh, okay, word.
He's going to Zara.
All right.
But you guys, like, honestly think that Trae Young deserves to start?
I mean, honestly,
he'd be fun for the All-Star game.
That's the thing. Like, the All-Star game, you want guys like that, right?
Yeah.
I think when you start debating, like, merit and stuff, like, if you want to say, like, oh, Kyle versus Trey.
No, I mean, let's be real, man. In an All-Star setting, I'd much rather watch Trey than Kyle Lowry. Like, come on. Am I going to see, like, a charge? Like,
yeah. Like, even Kyrie. Like, I think Kyrie's up there in voting, right? Like, I would love to see Kyrie there if he was healthy.
Yeah, we'll see.
But for the Raptors guys, I think, you know, I think Kyle and Pascal will be there.
Yeah, I like that Pascal's voting has been so high.
Yeah.
He's just barely behind Joel Embiid, even though he's missed a lot more time than Embiid has so far this year. That's great to see the love from the Raptors fan base. And I think it's also just like when you're up there that high, that's a respect from a national level. People recognize what he's doing. The only thing is Kyle Lowry needs to be higher, man. I don't want to see Kyle Lowry finish underneath Derrick Rose. Like, come on, man. What are we doing?
But Derrick Rose is like the third most popular player in Asia. You know that.
You know, we don't even have Google in China. You know this. What are they voting on? Baidu?
Dude, I just Erica hate seeing, Baidu. Like, all these rankings of how they think Ben Simmons should be a starter.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons as an all-star starter?
Yeah, I see, like, all these, like, articles from, like, CBS Sports and shit like that, and I don't get it. Like,
I mean...
Ben Simmons should just go to the three-point contest.
Oh, I love
and just
that.
Not touch the racks. He just runs through all the racks. Yeah.
he just
goes in for layups. Yeah.
I actually had this idea of, like, constructing the worst possible All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, it'd be like Ben Simmons in a three-point contest.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond in the three-point contest.
Who's in the dunk contest?
Dunk contest should be like Matt Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
it's like Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry just lays it in. Yeah. Oh man, Kyle Lowry going for a reverse layup.
Kevin Hart has to lift him up.
The skills contest with, like, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, Serge.
Serge, oh my God, Serge Ibaka in the skills contest? It'd be crazy. So.
Yeah. But anyways, All-Star voting, you know, you like you're saying with Pascal too. Pascal's a young, fun player, right?
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people, maybe even outside of Toronto, are voting for him.
Yeah,
there you go. To be there. So, you know, it'll be cool.
All right, Archie, thank you for the love. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. All right. Have a great weekend.
He's right. He's right, though. Your outfits do get ripped on too much.
That is what it is, man.
Yeah.
I did wear a pink fanny pack for no real reason, to be honest. Also, my man sounded like he was in the middle of a GTA. Like, look at Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, yeah. He activated, like, the Chico where the helicopters start coming and stuff.
Man, was about
you got five stars and everything.
Was there, like, sirens and stuff in the background?
Yeah.
All right, man. Stay safe.
That was intense.
Kyle and Guelph. You want to talk about the ceiling of our young players?
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So, yeah, my question's about the young guys on the team, specifically Terrence, Chris, O'Shea. and even Patrick McCaw. Just where do you see these guys, or where what are their ceilings, and where do you see these guys in the future of the Raptors?
Who do you think has the highest ceiling? You want to start with that?
An even better question, actually.
It's got to be Terrence, right? I think that's pretty obvious. So. I think Terrence, he doesn't have a real flaw in the game right now. Like, he has done a lot of high skill type of moves, and it's just like slowing down. Like, right thing, one thing about Terrence right now that he can fix is like he plays at one speed all the time. Yep. So either he's like bursting to the rim, or he's missing the layup, or he's not going for that layup at all. And it's not any like in between craft or like stop and go, maybe a floater, maybe cut into the middle of the lane, maybe drive through the lane and then like kick it out to the corner or something like that. It doesn't have that same nuance. It's very point A to point B right now. And once he gets all that other stuff down, I mean, like, he's 6'5", he plays defense, he's a really humble, hardworking guy, willing to learn. He's already a good shooter. Like I mentioned, he's already 40% from three, and he's shooting really well on free throws, like 94%. And yeah, I mean, he's 6'5". Like, yo, this guy has like real. I mean, he's the only knock on him is that he's 22. But I mean, we just saw how the amount of steps that Fred has taken. We've seen the amount of steps that an older rookie like Pascal has taken. Like, I mean, 22 is 22. Whatever. Who cares? Chris Boucher is like low key 27, and he's like breaking out this year.
Yeah,
so.
Stanley Johnson's only a year older than Terrence Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's the most surprising thing, actually. You know, Stanley's been in the league for what? I don't know how many years.
Five years now.
Jesus, that's a lot for, you know. Wow. But obviously, like, Terrence is the most composed. Do you see him playing more of a one or two in the future?
Ideally one more?
Yeah. I guess he's one of those guys where he's like a combo.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really assign that specific position to him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nick Nurse is going to be his coach for a long time. And Nick Nurse loves 2-point guard lineups.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to be familiar playing one or two. Right now, he's better playing as a two because it's less decision-making. He can just finish plays. And I think as time goes on, he'll develop as a one. It's not like he has a bad handle. It's not like he has bad vision. Like, he has a couple nice drop-off, dump-off passes.
He would just need to play that position more.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. I see Terrence as a potential, like, future starter in this league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, extremely solid for sure. Just a question. You know, there's been a bunch of slander about Patrick McCaw, but I guess you could say, like, recently we've seen, like, good flashes, you know, 11 assists.
Yeah.
Do you see him getting, you know, significantly better, or is it kind of just going to stay around the same level of play that we're seeing now for the next couple of years?
Quite honestly, I'm really confused by him because I've seen him do a lot of really difficult things. Like, in that Celtics game where he had probably his best game of the season, even better than what he did against Charlotte. In that Celtics game, you know, he hit a shot where he, like, stopped on a dime and banked the jumper off, like, off the backboard. And I don't know, maybe that was a miss, but I doubt it. I really do think that that's things that he can do. He seems to be able to handle. He can sort of pass with either hand. Like, it's like he can do these things. It's just on a game-to-game basis, you never know what you're going to get. You might get 3 points, 2 rebounds, and, like, in 36 minutes. Or, you know, you might get, like, a really nice performance. So I think it's really about consistency, but if I see you do that in the game, I feel like you have at least some ability, and I think that's probably why Nick kind of believes in him. But it's really hard to project a guy like that because you don't really know if he brings it on the same level on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, and I feel like him being forced into the starting lineup, he's actually been forced to, like, he's had no choice to be more aggressive with his offense.
Yep.
And I feel like he's done that now in terms of looking when he's open, when he's got the shots, he'll shoot it, the corner threes, and, you know, you've seen him, like, drive to the basket and things like that. I feel like ideally he would be like maybe a 20-minute guy on a good team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't project him to be someone who might develop,
I mean, even
into
15.
Like a starter. Yeah, like a 15-20-minute guy. And yeah, I don't know. I think he's just in such an interesting spot that it's very easy to pick on him.
Yeah. And it seems like he can hit corner threes, which is like, if you can hit corner threes, you can handle the ball a little bit, you can defend, then yeah, you should be able to play in a bench unit.
Yeah. I think we would just keep expecting him to be a little better than he is.
I just think Raptors fans, we got to pick on one guy all the time.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of guys over the years, and this year is kind of Pat McCaw. I mean, I'm not saying it's all unjustified. I'm just saying, like, we kind of like to have one guy that's kind of weirdly, like, you know.
Norm was that guy. Bag. Norm was that guy for a little while, but, you know.
JV was that guy for a minute. Yeah. Terrence Ross was that guy.
DeMar Carroll.
For sure.
No, DeMar Carroll was just straight up bad, man.
DeMar Carroll, the worst 3-and-D player ever.
The brick.
We've ever had on the team. But yeah, it's weird. Patrick McCaw, like, even you'll see, like, him finishing the when he cut through and Matt Thomas gave him that crazy pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish. That was impressive. You know, I wouldn't expect him to be able to finish like that. Or
even the Kyle Lowry pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like an alley-oop.
That split pass to Serge Ibaka
yeah.
In the clutch. That was crazy. So
yeah.
Definitely a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, man, I believe in the Raptors to develop any player, even Stanley Johnson.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Hopefully, so we have to do Stanley's suggestions anymore.
I was gonna say, man, I'm telling you, we got more. We got more of those online. All right. If Stanley gets good, if he cracks the rotation, it's DeJuan's destinations.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Peace.
Forgot about DeJuan Hernandez.
He's not healthy right now. That's
listed ahead of Stanley Johnson on Nick Nurse's injury reports. Wow.
Man, Nick Nurse just straight up wouldn't address. People would be like, "Hey, is Stanley coming back?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, you know, I mean, we'll be healthy soon. I mean, Fred's coming back," and he'd be like, "You need to talk about anyway." But he's back now, so it's good. Roy, in Toronto, should Fred be an All-Star?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's up? Can you hear us?
So, do you guys think Fred VanVleet's right now in the top Eastern Conference guard voting for the All-Star, right? So the top 10. So, do you guys think he deserves that spot, or do you think he should go to like someone else?
I mean, it's All-Star voting. If fans want to vote him, then they vote him. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, has Fred VanVleet
Are his performances worth it?
I would.
How he's been playing so far.
I think Fred has contributed to more wins than a lot of players on that list ahead of him. He's contributed to more wins than Derrick Rose. He's contributed to more wins than even Trae Young, who leads the guard vote in the East, right?
Yeah.
I think that the injury hurts him a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if you even assume that he might not even come back, or maybe come back close to the All-Star break, when the voting's done like on January 20th.
He'll be back soon. Don't worry, man.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that long.
And I know the Raptors have been a really, you know, to some people, a surprise in terms of where they are. But do you think surprise enough where they deserve three starters?
Yeah, they're not going to get
three players, not starters. Three players at the
All-Star. They're not getting three.
I don't really think so. Like,
they're getting two.
We're playing good, but we're not playing at the level that you would think we would have three players that be starters on the All-Star.
And it's a weird thing with All-Star where it's always like the year you break out
it's the year after that you make it, right?
Yeah, the year after. Yeah. Remember when Kyle Lowry was breaking out 2013, 2014, that season? He was really good. Honestly, I thought he was better than DeMar. But DeMar makes an All-Star game because DeMar, previous to that, was averaging like 18. Yeah. And it's like, all right, we know who DeMar is. It's hard on that first breakout year. Like even last year, D'Angelo Russell didn't make it with the Nets. I mean, he ended up making it as a reserve, but it was like the third or fourth reserve or whoever got hurt. And he finally got in. Just the first year you break out, it's not there. And this is the first year Fred's breaking out. So I think, honestly, if Fred does this next year, probably makes his team.
Yeah, and it's the All-Star thing.
I think Fred could be a consistent All-Star player if he All-Star, even maybe like when. So eventually we'll probably trade Kyle Lowry, which I hope would happen, even though I respect him, whatever. But he's just getting older.
Okay.
And he'll be our starter. But I think he could be a consistent All-Star if he improves over the offseason and during the season.
Yeah, I mean,
if
he can stay healthy and just get that efficiency up right now, you know, Fred's there. So, all right, thanks, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, sir.
All right, last caller. We got my boy, Duryea from Scarborough.
My guy. What's good, guys?
Live and direct from Pacific Mall.
Wow. First of all, we're doing this right now like this. First of all, live and direct from Cafe Mirage out in Kennedy 401.
Cafe Mirage. This guy's not at Fedrick.
Yeah. What's good, Duryea? You want to talk about what happened in 2K or what?
Oh, we can do this right now?
No.
You're slandering? No, we'll do this off the air. Right. No, I'm just calling you to say, first of all, what's up, guys? Thanks for doing this. It was fun. It was a blast to listen to. My question is pretty much, after all the talk for the season about making trades, making some moves, expiring contracts, and then seeing half the team basically being like, yeah, I'm going to just chill because I'm hurt, do you think we end up having just a net neutral deadline where nothing actually happens, no one actually gets traded, and we just kind of roll with the entire team? Because it seems like at full health, this team can kind of play with anybody in the East.
Yeah. I think that's honestly more likely. It's more likely that they chill than they do make a bigger move. And I mean bigger move in the sense that they move anyone in the road. Even like Norm would be a big move, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, and you said today, Nick said, what did he say? He said that when we're healthy, we like our chances against any team, right?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
The Raptors haven't given any hints throughout this season since it started that they are looking to kind of tear it down or be sellers.
They're definitely not going to be sellers. If they're buyers, then. But there's not even like one guy that's like a clear cut. Like, I mean, like, I like some of these guys that they're mentioned with, maybe. Like, Gallo, I like Gallo. But like, am I like desperate to get Gallo? I'm like, no.
And really. I'm pretty comfortable with just going with this team going into the playoffs healthy.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. I think after the first month of the season, after seeing how the team is playing after how Siakam basically looks like a bona fide superstar, I'm like, yeah, I was good for the next 25 years, honestly.
Wow.
After this past season. Like, I was like, like, come on, man. Like, it's one of those things where, like, And knowing us, I was good from legit. I was giving them like 25 years to get it together. I'm like, all right, cool. We're
yeah.
good. But yeah, after the first month of this season, run it back.
Run it 100%. Back. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to add anybody, this is the out of nowhere name. But remember Nick Johnson from the...
I bet. Okay, you know what? It's this man. Like, this is an it's inside a family show. I'm not trying to run up on you. But I'm like, I know where you work. I won't pull up on you.
This is an inside joke between four people.
Wow. It's such an esoteric joke, but yeah. I hate you for life. And no. I'm gonna talk
Yo, Will's just getting on-air threats now.
I went off on him on 2K once with Nick Johnson. Wow. He may or may not have dropped 45 points.
I used to be sick with Wayne 2K. Ellington in 2K. Man.
Yeah, I was going to say, yo, Derry, who's your most random 2K player that you love playing with?
Maybe, I love playing with.
Maybe Raptor, maybe not a Raptor.
I think Mehmet Okur.
What?
He was a perfect stretch five before a stretch five. I loved going to, it was so much fun where you're just like, you know what, screw defense because it's NBA Live 2005.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? Just get whoever has like a three icon beside his name, put him on the court.
Wow.
Once you learn how to shoot with those guys and you're comfortable, you can make anyone a star, right?
Utah Kyle Korver and Philly Kyle Korver were like illegal.
Yeah.
Because my buddy was like, I don't know how to play video games, but I know how to time a jump shot.
Yeah, once you time the jumper, that's it.
Yeah, it was like 100. It was like a Tony Snell or not Tony Snell. It was like a Bogdan Bogdanovic, like stat line, like 105 points, one rebound.
Oh yeah. Assists.
You seem like the type. You seem like the type that would run like full court presses and stuff. Really like, annoying in video games.
He was busting out a triangle in two.
Like X's and O's type stuff, right? Like zone. Oh, yeah.
He was calling pick and roll, from side pick and roll. He was doing like half court traps. It was disgusting.
And it was all working with Nick Johnson. All right, bro. I'll catch you at the next event, Derrier. Appreciate you calling the show. Shout out Scarborough.
Always, forever, and always. He's the VP. Hold it down.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, easy, man.
All right. Well, great show. That does it for this week's episode. Thanks, everyone, who had called in. Big thanks to Alex for coming on, man. Great debut episode.
Yeah, it's my last one or what?
No, you'll get more.
I'm getting the call.
It depends what me and Josh are doing, you know.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. No, I really enjoy... listening to this, you and Josh.
Wow.
You and Katie, you and anyone.
Yeah.
You know, you do the most comprehensive Raptors coverage in the city.
Wow.
And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, all right. Yeah. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. Yeah. Alex is the one who brings you the tweets. No, I'm kidding, man. Alex, come on, man. If you don't know about Alex, like, this is ridiculous. All right. Like,
yeah, it's cool, man.
New York Times.
Yeah. That's it.
Slam.
Yeah, yeah.
GQ.
All right, that's enough.
New Yorker.
Not here to talk about myself. Raptors.
Whatever place you're writing at. Yahoo, obviously.
Raptors making the finals.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. You really have worked your way into this one. So
yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks. Big, big, big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. Next week, we are going to unveil the KFC hotline. Where, listen, if you have a hot take after a game, go on Instagram. I don't use Instagram, but go on Instagram, direct message the Yahoo Sports Canada account, and like leave a voicemail about like, you know, just like a voice note of like, what you're thinking about the game. Like, if you're hot because Melo just hit a game winner to beat the Raptors after they led for the entire game, leave us that voicemail. We want to hear it, and we will honestly pick the best ones and play them on the next week's podcast, which will be back with Josh. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Watch Run It Back. Follow Alex. And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.